You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we have bowed head and heart before you. Do a work in our heart and head, just for your own glory and honor. Do it because you're you. Help us, each one. And our God, we're going to thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, reminding you at this point that the Apostle John's last living apostle, the Apostle Paul and Peter have died. John has the advantage of having the whole Old Testament. He has the advantage of the New Testament, as it were, except for his writings. He has the advantage, looking out, that he has been with our Lord 3.5 years, approximately. He has all kinds of advantage. And he is singled out by the Spirit of God, by our Lord Jesus Christ, to be the spokesman, to be the penman to write that which brings together all of biblical history in the light of secular history. It all comes together. And what do we need to know in the light of all of that? That God has manifested and made known his wonderful person as creator and redeemer in the world by his wonderful Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And God has been doing it with the angel of the Lord, etc., the birth in Bethlehem of Judea of the Word become flesh, crucified and risen again. John is helping us see this. You need to know, in the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1. God, don't add and don't subtract anything to what I have said. Revelation 22. Here I am. That's what you need to know. Not religion, not ritual, God, the wonderful person of God. Now, and thus, that's what we discover as we, John unfolds that information special to John. In other words, some of the other, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, didn't do it, but John did. And in the process, John is going to help us, in particular, come to grips with God. And so in John chapter 5, we share together in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. Now the Jews are very conscious. They are not stupid. And they're very conscious of God. Wonderful God. Hear ye, the Lord God is one Lord. Now, they were very conscious of that. And they understood with clearness, they understood that Jesus had just said that I am God, making himself equal to the Father. They understood that. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going, he doesn't correct that. They are absolutely right in their assessment and their understanding. And now he's going to bring home that which they have said. They have said, you're saying you're God. And he said, you are absolutely right. And then he's going to illustrate it. Thus, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And we share that together. Now, in the light of the verse 18, making himself equal with God, He starts off, as he does, in no other book. He uses the word verily, verily, together, not just singular, together, 25 times. When he does it, in John, 25 times. Now, what are you trying to say? Well, the word verily has to do with true, truth, firmness, stability, affirmation. It's a word of affirmation, not confirmation. Confirmation has to do when there's doubt. Affirmation has no doubt. It's affirming something that is. He is affirming. It's a word of affirmation, certainty, surety, trustworthiness, absolutely fixed. When you say verily, it's fixed. When you say verily, verily, it is surely fixed. It is surely to be understood. Now, verily, verily, I say unto you. And he does in verse 19, he uses that term, verily, verily, words. And he made it very clear that they were absolutely right in what they said. You said you're God. That's right. And now I'm going to show you that I am God, because as perfect man born in Bethlehem of Judea, I want you to know that my assignment was to represent humanity as God intended it to be represented. And I, in the image and likeness of God, reflect God. God looks at me and sees himself. I, Christ, in his humanity, holding the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, God sees himself. The Lord Jesus said, I am totally, in as man, am totally dependent upon God. God made me human to reflect his wonderful invisibleness, his infiniteness. He made me to demonstrate God's wonderful person. And thus, here I am. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here I am, man as God intended him to be. Wow. To enjoy and experience and exercise God. And thus he said, without him I do nothing. Now, that's a verily, verily. He said that. Now he's going to do it again. He is. Verse 24. Verily, verily, again, I say, I am telling you with great affirmation, with great certainty, trustworthiness, firm, fixed, permanent. I am telling you, I am saying to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, etc. I'm going to go back to that. Now, I'm going to show that I am sent from the Father. Here I am in front of you, and I want you to know I am here so that you can understand God. You can relate to God, know God, trust God, enjoy God. I'm here for that. I'm here. So verily, verily, I am saying, who is saying? I, who you say is God, who I am saying to you, with all authority and with all power and ability, the Father hath sent me. I am from God. I am God from God. I am come from God, the Father, to show forth the Father. I am the Word become flesh. And so that you can what? Know the Father. I am here on planet Earth, said the Lord Jesus, for you to know the Father God. God the Father, the center of all of God's wonderful person. Now, I want you to know who sent me. I don't want any questions. Verily, verily, let it be affirmed, very certain. I am saying, verse 14, 24, I should say. I am saying, present tense, I am saying to you, and what you are now going to hear is absolutely yes. And amen. There's not a question. And all the world can do whatever they want. But I am telling you, do you understand who I am? I am God in the flesh. and I am communicating God the Father's words. That's what I want you to know. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Very, very clear. Now, having said that, you are hearing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Now, having said that, let's just get a little understanding. My word, you want to hear my, I am the word become flesh. And I'm telling you, the words that I speak are the Father's words. They're from the Father. You want to hear the Father? Listen to what I'm saying. Now, so let's get that a little more locked in. John chapter 5 and in verse 8, what did he tell the fellow who needed to be healed after 38 years? He said unto him, straightway, no conversation, just told him, Jesus saith unto him, rise, command, take up thy bed and walk. Now, how did that fellow get healed? Simply by paying attention to God's word. God gave him instructions, and that man obeyed those instructions, his word. He that heareth my word. Now, over if you would please to verse 21. As we do. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth to make them alive, to give them life, as he quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth or makes alive whom he will. So, if you believe in my word, my words, because the Father has sent me, I'm giving them my word. The man was healed by the word of God. God said it. And the Lord Jesus said, I want you to know that my Father and I, we are equal in word. My Father gives life and I give life. We are equal. You're right. God, you're saying you're God, equal with God. You're saying absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now, having said that, over if you would to chapter 17. Chapter 17, and picking up, please, in verse 8, 17 and 8. This is the Lord's Prayer in the upper room before he goes out to be crucified. Chapter 17, verse 8. For I have given unto them the words. Now, where do the words come from? Which thou gavest me. The words that I speak come from the Father. I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. They have listened to my word and taken them in, and have known surely that I came out from thee, the Father sent him, that they may believe, that, and they have believed that thou, what do they believe? That you came from the Father, you are God. From the Father. That's right. They believe that. Now, over if you would, in the light of that, verse 14. I have given them thy word, the word of the Father, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Down to verse 20. What did they do? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which they believe, which shall believe on me through their word. So here's Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and where are they speaking? They're bringing the words the same as we are right now. Now, where do those words come from? God the Father. God the Father. That's why we read it. You don't care about my opinion or interpretation or anything. What does it say? What does it say? And thus, understand the words that I speak. Therefore, you understand, you know. When you, without turning there, 2 Timothy 4, etc. What does it tell you? Preach the word. Preach the word.
Where's the word come from?
From you, God.
Whose words are they? Yours.
Give my words to them.
That's what we do.
Now, in the process, John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. And may I pick up in thought? Let us go to verse 26, little bit of the section. So on the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, God the Father sent the Spirit of God, God the Son sent the Spirit of God. Verse 26, 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And what have you said, God? All the words that I tell you are from the Father. Over, if you would, to chapter 15, verse 26. The Spirit of God is going to take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that are from the Father, and he's going to give them. The Lord gave them, and the Lord gave those words to his disciples, apostles, and they are handing them out, the gospel. Chapter 15, verse 26. And when the Comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He's going to share of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 16, and in verse 13, again, all in the same context, upper room. Verse 13, chapter 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, reality. For he shall not, N-O-T, speak of himself. The Spirit of not is not going to give his personal opinion, which happens to be the same as God. He is God. But he said, I'm not speaking of myself. I'm going to speak of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, is not going to speak of himself. He's going to speak of the Father. The Spirit of God, the Son of God, all point to the Father in wonderful harmony and unity and agreement, so that it can be understood without too much confusion that God has something to say, and he said it. Now, and thus, verse 13 again, but read it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, reality, for he shall not speak of himself, no, but whatsoever he shall hear, he's going to hear it, and then he's going to say it. What that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Okay? So where is it all going to come from? God the Father has something to say, and he's using the word become flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, to give the words. So I don't have to wonder about the words. Do whatever I want, but here's the words. Over, if you would, please. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And if I may, picking up in thought, John 12 and in verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, they don't want to believe, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. I want you to know, when you reject me, you aren't rejecting me, you're rejecting the words. Where are the words coming from? God the Father. To reject me, said the Lord Jesus, you have rejected the Father. I represent him. They're his words. Very clearly. No question. Back over to John chapter 5. John in chapter 5. And you'll note, please, in John 5:23, God is making it very clear that he is who he is. Very clear, no question. I'll read verse 22, because we did those last time. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not, N-O-T, the Son, honoreth not, N-O-T, the Father, which has sent him. Now, you're going to make that clearer? I am. I'm going to tell you another verily, verily. In the light of that, I am who I am. If you reject me, you reject my Father. I want it very clear. Thus, verily, verily, verse 24, verily, verily, absolute, firmly fixed affirmation, I am going to say unto you, without any question, I'm going to make it very certain what I'm saying. I am who I am to be honored. That's right. I say unto you, verse 24, I am saying, present tense, he that is hearing my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. I want you to know he, the person that's hearing my words. Hearing my words. As they hear my words. And believeth on him. And that's awesome. You mean when I'm reading it, looking at it in print. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when I read that, when I hear that and understand, I am going to honor those words. When I honor those words, I honor the Father. The only way I can honor the Father. Remarkable. If I take the words that come out of the mouth and heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to go right back to God the Father. Amazing. Amazing. You want to please God? Honor my word. When you honor my word, you honor me. Simple as that. Who do you honor? You honor God in his highest, most wonderful person. God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Wow. Now, having said that, and he that is hearing, present tense, hearing the word. And remember the word hear, the verb to hear, to obey, to hearken, to go and to take your mind, to give, to take your mind and give, to be an ear witness, as a Hebrew would say. To hear with the ear of the mind. The mind, the heart, the thought process is hearing. To hear effectually. To be able to perform that which is spoken. To obey the word. Would you please note, it's driven home. Let me just pick it off for you. In chapter 5 and in verse 24, I'm going to go, he that heareth. I'm going to slide down to verse 25. The hour is coming and now is, let the dead shall hear. I'm going to go to the end of verse 25. And they that hear shall live. They that hear shall live. I'm going to verse 28. The graves, all that are in the graves, the end of verse 28, shall hear his voice. Down to verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing as I hear, over and over again. It's a relationship God has in the person of Jesus Christ. God, the imperfect man, is to enjoy a perfect God in a perfect way and reflect and allow God to make himself known, his word, his work, his worth, to make it all known. Wow. And now, in the process of that, hearing the word, over to chapter 6, verse 45. Chapter 6 and verse 45. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of whom? The Father. See. Where's it all going? Where's it all go? The Lord Jesus said, you won't pray anymore to me. You're going to pray to the Father in my name. It's all about you, God. That's right. That's right. And the end of verse 45, and hath learned of me, learned of the Father, cometh unto me. You learn of the Father, you're going to come to him, because where are we going to find God the Father? In God the Son. Verse 60. You know what they thought about it when he gave them his words. John 6 and 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear these words? And, of course, many of the disciples went a different direction. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words are the words of the Father. They're pregnant, full of life. You cannot exhaust them. You can only feed on them and enjoy them and exercise them. Wow. And in John chapter 10, just to catch it a little more, John chapter 10. And in verse 3, in the shepherd, remember, the Lord is the good shepherd. To him, 10 and 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear, the H-E-A-R, hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They're going to know. Where is it coming from? From the Father, from God, all the words that I speak unto you, I speak of the Father. I bring them from the Father. You read in Romans chapter 10, you may want to turn back there. You read it in your scripture reading. Romans chapter 10. And you know this. Verse 17, 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where are we going to hear? What are we going to hear? Is it going to come out of the ceiling? Where's it going to come? From the Word of God. These words I've given, write them over and over and over and over and over again. These are written for you. Read them. No matter where you live, read the words. And thus, John chapter 10, verse 17. So then, where does faith come from? Without it, which it's impossible to please him. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound, the words, went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth, ends of the world, the age. So here they are, the words. Who didn't know? Did Cain know? Did Abel know? Did Seth know? Did Noah know? Did Methuselah know? Yes. No question. Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. You ought to have been paying attention to my words, and you didn't. You didn't honor my words. One other place that may be of help, over to Matthew chapter 13. So the words are from the Father. You honor the word, you honor the Father. Matthew chapter 13. And if I may, picking up in thought, chapter 13, and may I go to verse 19, the Lord's illustration of the sower. And verse 19, when anyone heareth, there's your word, the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, N-O-T, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, that's the word, which is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So here's the seed thrown out there on a black top and stuff. And the birds come along and take it up. It didn't go anywhere. You heard the whole message. You read the Bible and walked out the door and forgot it all. Didn't become part of your life. A much abundant life. Like we did in Sunday school. Wow. Don't become like that. Wow. No. Chapter 13 and verse 20. I'm not going to read the verse, but just catch the last end of it. The same is he that heareth the word and on with joy receiveth it. And the word, each time the seed, but it doesn't produce fruit. Verse 21. And he that hath not root in himself, etc., is giving to verse 22. He also that receiveth the seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care, the anxiety of this world, etc., the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. It doesn't produce anything. Verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringing forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And like it says in Revelation 2 to each church, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God saith to the churches. What he's saying. So I'm going to read the word. I'm going to look to God's word. I'm going to trust God's word. That's what I'm going to do. Back over to John chapter 5. John in chapter 5. And you will note, please, in John chapter 5. Verily, verily, verse 24, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, when you honor my word, you honor the Father that sent me, hath, that person has, present tense, that person has everlasting life. Has everlasting life. The person, if you believe on the Father. When you believe my words, you believe on the Father. When you believe on the Father, you have the one that sent me. When you believe in the Father that sent me, that makes it possible for you to have everlasting life. Wonderful, everlasting life. To him who sent God. God the Father sent the Son, and God the Father is to be honored in sending the Son. The Son is to be looked to, his word, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, eternal life, a wonderful, wonderful life. And like we shared together in 6 o'clock, Sunday school, not just to get saved, that's redemption, justification. But more than that, that's the stepping stone. Like the food, as we shared, going down your stomach. All of that food translates what? Food's all gone. Taste, all gone. Down it goes. But now, because you have nourishment, you can exercise physical life. That's what the food is about. To be justified, saved. He redeems us and pays the price. For what? For life. Much more. Much more, much more, in order to live, not later, now. It's very rare for believers to even come close to that. But that's what God gave. That's what it's all about. That's the gospel. You say, well, it isn't out there, so therefore it must not be. Wrong. God said it. It is. Now, whether you see it or not, it's immaterial. And you're going to have trust God. Is God know what he means and means what he said? Absolutely. Am I going to let God do that in my little heart? Uh-huh. That's what you want to do. And God, you're going to do it. Uh-huh. I'm going to do it. It's my word. My word. I'm going to do it. But no one else, but you know it. You're going to know it. You're going to trust me. You're going to enjoy my wonderful saving grace and my life. And you shall not come into condemnation, but it's passed from death unto life. So, God, what are you going to do? Well, you're not, a person's not going to come into condemnation. So, no condemnation, no judgment, no judgment. Present tense, they're not coming, not N-O-T, no judgment. All right, over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And picking up, if I can, in verse, little context, and in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. On the contrary, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Already? Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hadn't believed, no. He had to believe. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his word, and his person who brings it, then you're going to believe in the Father that sent me. Thus, verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because why? Why don't I want to be in the light? I don't want to know. Then I have to change my mind. I have to fix things. That's right. If you come up with the wrong answer in school, paper, work, home, play, bus schedule, whatever it is, and you got that wrong, and you don't fix it, it's going to stay wrong. You don't have the answer. You don't have anything. It's just wrong. Won't come out right. You got to fix it. You got to correct it. That's right. And in the process now, verse 19, because the deeds are evil. Verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds, their works should be reproved and rebuked. God, you're thinking, you got the wrong answer. 2 + 2 = 95. And you're saying it. No, I got it wrong. I did it wrong. Isn't that what you used to do when you went to school? Did the blackboard, when you were picked on to go up in the blackboard, and it puts the first part of the problem up there, and then your job is to go up and finish the problem. And you finish the problem, and you start the problem up in the blackboard, all the class is looking, and you go up there and you start the problem, and you're writing up there, and it isn't right, and the teacher says, shakes the finger. Then you know that what you just put on the blackboard was not right. What are you going to do if you're smart? You're going to fix it. You're going to correct it. If not, at least ask the teacher, what should I write? What am I doing wrong? Don't you want to correct it? Sure you do. Class is all looking at you. Are you real? Are you for real? Are you really a believer? Are you really a child of God? Are you really a son of God? I didn't say a church member. Everyone can be church members. Are you a believer? Different. Now, so here, if I may, over, if you would, John, over to Rome. Well, here, why not? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if I may, and picking up, please, in verse 1, in the great book of Romans and God's wonderful life that he gives us, chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is now, no condemnation, judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus. God, what did you just say? If I'm going to believe your word, if I take you at your word and believe in him that sent you, that's the Father, and I honor the Father, I have to honor, when I honor you, I honor the Father. When I do that, God, I have eternal life. A relationship, the right one, right and real. And you will not perish. You will not come into condemnation. No condemnation. No judgment. When? Right now. So as a believer, wonderfully sitting here, what do I know? Here I am here, and the next minute,
there. But hey,
no
judgment.
Now, it's true the Bema seat is there for the child of God, but not the great white throne judgment. Just the Bema seat to put things in order. Wow. No condemnation. The minute you believed and I gave you eternal life, you cannot be condemned. That's how to start. That's right. Much life, wonderful life. We'll start exercising it. That's right. We passed from death unto life, from one state into another. We passed. It's in the perfect tense. To go from one condition to a new condition, and the condition remains. Wow. From one state into another state. Wow. Eternal life, eternal life. The minute you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life, and you're not going to be condemned. Watch. John chapter, you're right here anyway. John chapter 11. Back over to John. John chapter 11. And you know it. Just let it say it. God said it. John 11, verse 25. He said it to Martha. Lazarus had died. Jesus saith unto her, looking at a tomb with Lazarus in it, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You're never going to die. You know, I am the resurrection and life. I am the reality of life. You believe on me and my words, you have life. Just life. And you're not condemned. No, not condemned. Not at all. Not condemned. And you are the resurrection and the life. That's true. John 8. John 8. Again, he'll say it. Do you believe that you'll never die? You can't die. You can't die. Not physically. Physically, you can. Spiritually, you can. Your relationship to God is permanent if you're truly, truly saved. John 8, over if I can, verse 51. Again, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, my word, he shall never, what? See death. What do you think never means? I know it's a hard thing. What do you think never means? Never means never. Isn't that good? Never means never. Wow. God said, I said that. But every believers are all over the place, but do they ever lock on to all this? Not likely. Not likely. Our old nature is all over the place, you know. So here's the reality of life and the reality of death. I know. When you're going to start talking like this and read it, do you know, the people know they don't know God. Oh, they know a God. But they know when they don't have a personal relationship to God. They know that. And you know the most wonderful key. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does something wonderful. And the Spirit of God. Remember, we believe His Word. Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of Him that sent me, that's the Father. When I believe the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, I go right to the Father. Now, and He gives me eternal life the minute I believe. Now, when He gives me eternal life, the minute I believe, the Spirit of God, I have eternal life. The Spirit of God saves my soul in the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when He saves my soul, do you know the first thing He says to me, as it were? I want you to be able to say, Father, Abba, Father. That's the first thing I want you to say. Is that interesting? The first thing He wants me to say. Because I just came to the Father. I believe the Word, Bible. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And where am I ending up? I'm ending up with a Father. When I look at the Father, I have eternal life. When I have eternal life, God, how are you going to help me? Say, Father, for real. My Father. No judgment.
no condemnation, eternal life, no death, is passed from death, what? Unto life. All over. The moment you believe his word. Wow. Now, having said that, it's a wonderful thing, you know. Now, over, if you would, please. Oh, to put it together a little bit. Oh, Romans 8 again. Romans 8. God is going to help us. He says something very clear. I'll bet you, if you were a betting person, and you went and talked to somebody, I'm a believer, and you pin him down and just say, well, what do you know about having eternal life? What is eternal life, and how certain is it? How verily, you wouldn't say this, but how verily, verily is it? Verily, verily. Absolutely. We don't say that because we. Who's going to be that proud to say, who would dare to say, you're a son of God, you see? And that's the trouble, because we don't confess. The devil does what? He wants you to shut up about truth. Why truth? Because truth is truth. And that's why he doesn't want you to use the Bible or believe it. You can quote it, write a whole book about it. Just don't believe it. And he doesn't care. As to what? Don't ever start talking about that which God has done, which is L-I-F-E. Don't exercise, enjoy life. L-I-F-E. Don't do that. There's nothing I can do about that. I can louse up your life something fierce, physical life, earthly life. But there's not a thing I can do about your eternal life. It is untouchable. Wow. Not condemned? No, not condemned. Romans 8, if I may, in the light of that great chapter. May I skip and go? I'll read verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. All right? Over, if you would, to chapter 8, and in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Who is going to condemn you? Who is going to judge you? It is Christ that died. That's right. Christ died. He died. Christ did. He died. I didn't die. You didn't die. Christ died. Christ died. Christ is the one. You got a problem? Go to God. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't like me being saved, go talk to him. Go talk to him. He's the one that died. I didn't die. He did. Now, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God. So here he is. The risen Christ, the perfect humanity of Christ at the right hand of God. And he's making intercession for the believing heart. He's looking for them, to trust them, to trust him with all our heart. We're going to look to God. God's going to keep us in his wonderful saving grace. God, here we are. And who's going to condemn us? Well, you're going to have a problem because, God, if you don't like it, you'll have to tell God. God did a wonderful work when I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you did, and you got saved, if you truly did. And if you don't like that, you'll have to tell God. I can't unsave myself. I can't go and tell Christ to leave. He bought me what? I don't ever remember anyone else could possess me once I was bought. I'm owned by someone else, namely God. I don't belong to anyone else. No more. I belong to God. And say, if therefore you don't like that, and you don't like his word? Don't like his word? Well, you remember the little boy got saved
got saved and was sharing with his friend, and they took and believed this verse, John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me." Well, the little boy believed and understood that he had eternal life and could not come into condemnation, and that he was passed from death unto life. And that's, he understood that in his simple little boyness. He just enjoyed that which he understood to the extent he understood it. And the little boy went home, you know, and went to bed. And he went to bed and he lay down in bed, and then his mind started working. And there, and he said, "Well, no, that can't be. It can't be. It can't be that you believed. You didn't believe good enough. You didn't believe enough. Who are you to believe anyway? You're nobody to have that. To have life. To have the life of God. Only God has life. That's right. And only God can give life. And God can only give life based on righteousness. Everything has to be right for God to give life. And it requires God's righteousness to give you God's life. Now, and they have eternal life, right? And not going to come into condemnation. No, no judgment. No, that can't be. Why? Who are you to say there's no judgment? And to be passed from death unto life. I mean, look at you. You're there, and you could fall off the bed and get killed and everything. Wow. And the little boy went through all of that with the devil down there, down below. And then the little boy went and talked to his friend. His friend read him the verse again. They read the verse again, and what God had said, his words. And so he went home, and that night, his little mind began to doubt and question, you know, how could this possibly be? And he figured the devil was under his bed, as it were. So he reached down and took his Bible that he had was reading. He read what it said in John 5:24. And he took it and laid it down under the bed, by his bed, and said, "If you don't like it, you are Satan. Read it for yourself. Read 5:24 for yourself. It's what it says." And I didn't do it. God did it. God said it. Wow. "And verily, verily, I say unto you," without any question, "they that honor the Father must honor the Son. In honoring the Son, you honor the Father." What are you going to do? The whole business is what? To get us to you, our Father. To be able to say, "Abba, Father." Wow. My Father. Eternal life. Read it for yourself. You got a Bible? Read it. And pay attention to just what it says. Not what you want it to say. Not what someone else said about it. What does it say? And God is there singling out the only book and the only place in all the world. You could read the book Quran. You could read Science, Mary Baker Eddy and Jehovah's Witness. You could read them all. But only one. John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Only one book. Only one. I read it. I don't want it, but you don't have to. You don't have to do anything. Wow. We'll pray. Our God and Father, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. We thank you for your grace, mercy, kindness, God. Thank you for the settledness, the wonderful verily, verily, the wonderful stamp you put upon your word, so that we don't have to sit and wonder and wander and worry. No, God, you said it. And I'll have to get somehow to have you change it if I don't like it. But God, you said it, and it's set in cement. You said don't add and don't subtract. God, thank you very, very much. These, you said, are written so that we could believe and know for sure that thou art the only God and Savior, and we can trust you with all our heart. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And you might like to turn, as we sing, as it were, 546.